Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. On today's episode, we speak with Princeton's most athlete, non-athlete, about crushing her enemies, her rivalry with the president, and her deepest, darkest secrets. It's the last episode of the season. This is The Bechdel Test. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Bechdel Test. This is our season finale of season one. This is incredible.
It might be our final podcast, too. If this all just is a train wreck, then
if you guys don't get those views,
listens up.
All right, I'm just going to stop.
Yeah, probably a good idea for you. Yeah. I have some exciting, not exciting news.
No, it's not exciting.
Not in the least.
It's not exciting at all. Actually, kind of traumatic. But so my mom is a professor at Emory University, a law professor, and she went to Tel Aviv, Israel, to teach law there to those students over there. And she took a little day trip to Jerusalem just to, you know, sightsee, as one does. She was in like a market on Monday. She called me from the market. She was like, look, I'm in this market. This is crazy. That was at like 7:30 a.m. Then 2 hours later, I get a text that says, okay, so we were in a terrorist attack, but we're fine. Our guide who we were with killed the terrorist. Why are you guys
it's
laughing?
It's not funny.
Actually, terrorism is a big deal.
Yeah, so, it's a terrible thing.
Terrifying, actually.
I was like, excuse me, mother? What? And she was, it's not funny. She was like, yeah, like, we're all good. Basically, I was like taking a picture. We were leaving this market. We were in the car leaving this market. Our guide was driving. I wanted to take a picture of like how crowded this market was. And as she raised her camera to take the photo, this like car like slammed into the crowd of people. And so she snapped the photo from like 30 feet away. And there's like a victim like on the hood of the car. So the guide is ex-military. He was in the special forces. So when he saw the car crash happen, my mom was like, oh, that's a bad driver. It wasn't a bad driver. It was on purpose, actually.
Oh, that's stinky.
Yeah, that's the word she used, actually.
Yeah, that's not how I would describe it.
And the guide, like, gets out of the car. He's like, stay in the car. He has a gun on him because he's ex-military. He, like, approaches the car. Bam, bam. Neutralizes the terrorist because he sees the guy, like, reach for something.
Neutralizes the terrorist.
He sees the guy, like, reach for something underneath, like, his, like, the car seat, thinking it might be, like, a bomb or something. And then bam.
Wow.
Out. Thank God. Like
for that guy.
Yeah, seriously.
For real. Shout out to that guy.
And thank God that she was with him. Like he would have protected them first, you know.
So, you know, it makes you appreciate family. I'll say that.
Family.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm very sorry that had to happen. That's pretty traumatic, though.
Guys.
But it's also related to something that I went through yesterday.
Go ahead.
And I'm not going to get into it because it's pretty awful. But I had some sort of GI infection or food poisoning yesterday, in which I
shat all over himself.
I shat all over myself. Thank you, Sophia. I did in my room and vomited onto that that shit. So that was my day yesterday. And I don't think I existed. I'm very sorry that you had to hear this, guest.
I think I have to go.
Melting.
Yeah, that's fair. But anyway, I'm fine now and I'm feeling
healthy. Thank God
healthy.
For that. Yeah.
But
all the
let's
bad
get into
stuff.
Let's,
yeah.
get,
let's
guest.
Get into the guest.
We're wasting
go.
Precious time.
Okay, so today on the podcast, we have the reigning queen of Princeton. She's a spin instructor, a super senior, an Orange Key tour guide, the former vice president of an eating club, a soon-to-be investment banker, and probably the most well-known NARP, that is, non-athletic regular person, at Princeton. One of her favorite things to say is, I'm going to make it my personal goal to convince you to come to Princeton. Mm-hmm. And hearing her talk at my own Princeton Admitted Students Day is one of the main reasons I'm at Princeton today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Caroline Kirby!
Yeah.
Woo! Go, Caroline!
I think that's the nicest intro anyone's ever given me.
Great.
Wow.
Well, that wasn't even that. Was it that nice?
It's just facts, really.
It was just facts.
It's just facts.
It was objective. It was completely objective.
I don't know. I think some of it was a little embellished, but I appreciate it.
No, no. What could be embellished? All of these are, you are a spin instructor, right?
That is true.
You are the reigning queen of Princeton, right?
That's a little debatable.
It's a title.
Oh, yeah. Can I have like a plaque?
Yeah.
No, no.
I thought
LinkedIn,
you already
though?
Had the plaque.
I was going to update my LinkedIn next week, but this is a good reminder.
Okay.
I was talking to my buddy Chris, Chris Eisgruber, actually. Mm. Yeah. And he was like, you know, the queen? I was like, sorry. Like she died, actually. Elizabeth. She died. Like, she died earlier.
That was sad.
Yeah. You're kind of bringing it up. And he's like, no, the queen of Princeton, Caroline. I was like, oh, no. Yeah, I know her.
Of course
you
we
know,
are.
Of course you know.
I don't think he likes me very much. Because,
really?
Yeah. Because, so, I work for the athletic department doing their social media, which is why I'm lurking at all of those games.
Lurking.
I am a lurker. That is
Tom.
That should really is should be what's
I
on my LinkedIn.
I do see you at Dylan a lot. Like, just, yeah. Like, you look like you're working all the time, but I just walk past you like, oh,
she's just watching people work out and stuff.
Peeping Caroline.
No, fully with my iPhone out, no photography equipment, just recording all the time. But they have me every time Eisgruber goes to a game to go up to him and ask like, hi, President Eisgruber, mm-hmm. can I please take your photo for the athletic department? And he hates it.
No
he hates
way.
It really? So much. Yeah, I don't think he's a big photo person. And now I think there's like a visceral reaction every time I see him on campus. Like, oh, it's photo girl.
But he's so photogenic, no. though.
You just should stop asking him for the photo and just like take a picture of him.
I mean, I do that anyway, but I don't think he notices.
Just like go up to him and be like, yeah, that's good.
With the loud snapping sound.
So, Caroline, you just finished your senior thesis, right?
I did.
How do you feel? Well, first of all, what was the senior thesis on? What was the process like, and how do you feel now?
So, I have actually never had so much work in my life currently.
Oh, wow.
PTL is fake. Just prepare yourselves for that. It also might have to do with me signing up to do too many activities and never saying no to people. But in general, like, thesis, you can totally write it in 3 weeks. Don't let anyone tell you different.
Damn.
If with caveats, if your study is more qualitative and you know where you're getting your info from, it is super reasonable if you like writing to like just sit down and do it over a short time span. If it's not that and you have like studies and quantitative stuff, perhaps don't take that approach. But I lived in Stone on the B floor for like 3 weeks, got it done. I wrote it on, there was a weird phenomenon last year of Democratic sources spending money in Republican primaries to try to get the really crazy far right people elected so they'd have an easier opponent in the actual midterm election.
Huh.
They spent over $53 million doing that across the U.S.
Wow.
And it worked. But I was basically arguing, first was trying to just outline the situation because it hadn't really happened to this degree before. So it was kind of like a narrative case study. And then from there, just had a little bit of personal argument that I think is kind of a disingenuous tactic, especially at this time in this country, there's a lot of chaotic things going on. And when there's a real risk of nominating and then electing someone who doesn't believe in democracy, it potentially could have a negative effect.
Right.
And plus, like, if you're a Democratic donor and your dollars are being spent on people who believe in QAnon theories, that's not exactly a super great situation. So that was what my thesis was on.
That's super
interesting. Because you're a politics major now.
Yes.
But you are an incoming investment banking analyst at Lazard.
Lazard Frears.
My bad.
Oh.
Not Lazard. Not Lazard.
Get told,
so. We call it Lizard sometimes.
Lizard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lizard.
Laz.
So how do politics, investment banking, explain.
So I have a shopping problem.
Thanks for being open about it.
I think the biggest thing about Princeton that's really cool is that because of the thesis and because we don't have undergraduate business schools and stuff like that, you really can major in whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then as long as you can pitch why you majored in what you did, you can pretty much apply to any job and with some prep get any job.
Mm-hmm.
Investment banking is something that I am a little bit nervous going into because it's essentially 2 years of rocking under your desk with anxiety working all the time. But it's something where you get to work with really smart people. It's kind of an environment like Princeton where everyone's really driven, really committed, and you're just going to learn so much for 2 years. And then you can either stay in the industry, hopefully get promoted to associate, or there's 5 million exit opportunities, whether that's typically like into private equity or go to business school or start your own company. And ultimately, I'm hoping to start my own company. What kind? I don't know. But I love being the boss of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like the only natural path for me.
Amen.
So that's kind of how I ended up in banking.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
So also from stalking your Instagram, you were a competitive track runner in high school.
Yeah.
Achieving recruiting times for Princeton and other D1 schools. But then you got injured.
I did.
So walk us through what happened there.
So day of, picture a really inconsequential dual meet. So my tiny public high school versus another tiny public high school. Mm-hmm. I was a hurdler and race kicked off. I pushed off and my Achilles popped in half entirely.
Oh my God.
So the Achilles is like your strongest muscle in your body, in terms of like aiding your movement.
Yours is just really weak.
Yeah, no, mine is yeah. super weak. So it totally just tore in half. I face planted, but people fall all the time in hurdle races. So yeah. the normal reaction is everyone's like cheering you on, get up, you're fine, you're fine. So I try to get up. I can't because it's like severed in half.
Oh my gosh. And
my track coach, who recently retired, but he started our women's track program in like the 80s. So he was probably around 80 years old himself, was notorious for being saying you're fine. So you're puking, you're throwing up, you may have sprained your ankle, like too bad, you're still running the 4x4, like get back on
that
there.
That culture is so pervasive. Like, yeah. I just really like, I don't know, I was a swimmer for my whole life practically, and I had a Romanian coach who was just like that.
Right.
And like, what do you think about that? Because there are benefits to it in mm-hmm. some sense, but like...
Well, the side of this story that's a little bit scary is that this is the one time I ever heard him say, like, do not get up. We are getting the trainer. So that's how we knew it was really bad. I think that there are pluses. I think especially with like endurance sports, you really need to be told, like, you can do this. Yeah. Like, your body is tired, but you can do it. There is a limit, though, I think. Mm-hmm. I never saw my coach. He was wonderful. I never saw him, despite being tough, like, actually push anyone to the brink of actually getting hurt.
Yeah.
But I have seen that in other sports, too. I think swimming, gymnastics. There's a bunch of other ones, cross country.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully not as much. But anyway, that's what happened. They took me to the hospital and they asked me if I was on PEDs, performance enhancing drugs. And so picture this. So I'm like, I was a sophomore. So I think I was like 16, probably weighed like 110 pounds soaking wet. I was like really tiny because I was running so mm-hmm. much. And they were asking me if I was on steroids.
That's crazy.
And you were like, yes,
and I was
am.
Like, I am actually on every known steroid known to men.
All the drugs.
All of them. But I was like crying and I was like, what are PEDs? Because I've never heard that before.
Explain the acronym.
I just do hard drugs. I don't know.
And I was like, no, I'm not. And then they made my mom leave the room and then seriously asked me again. Like, because I guess that's pretty much the only reason why a 16-year-old girl would tear their Achilles. It's a middle-aged man injury.
Wow.
Most of the time. Yeah. It's like weekend warrior playing basketball turns too fast. Pop. So it made no sense that like a vaguely in shape young person would do it. But I did. Felt super special. They asked me to sign waivers in the hospital so people could watch my surgery because it was so interesting
that
such a young person did it. Yeah.
So that's when the paparazzi began for you.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, that's really the moment when it started.
And so how do you think your college experience would have been different if you'd been a recruited athlete?
Honestly, thank God that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was thankfully pretty good at running and I really mm-hmm. liked hurdling and I liked having a goal and I liked winning, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did return back to track for my senior year of high school once I was cleared to run again. And I was bad. Like I had been out of it for 2 years. I picked up biking. I liked doing other things. Mm-hmm. And I think if I had done that in college, it would have been a totally different environment for me. There's so many pluses to being an athlete here. I have so many friends who are, and I see like the community they walk into immediately.
Right.
Honestly, the post-grad community too, alumni connections, but their life kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to be real with you. Like I watch them 7 a.m. lift 3 times a week.
Insane.
You have practice from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. You miss dinner, you miss formals, you miss all this other stuff. And if you start to not love your sport anymore, you're kind of just trapped in something that you get not benefit, but like less legitimate, real plus out of. And plus you still have to be a Princeton student. It's pretty crazy. I have 4 jobs. I do all this other random stuff on campus. And I still have infinitely more free time than all my friends who are just Division I athletes.
And you still have that athletic like outlet in,
in
being a spin instructor. Yeah. And so you host classes that like get booked out within 5 minutes. So how did you get into spin and what do you think has contributed to your spin empire as it's colloquially known?
That's so nice. I don't know how true that is.
That's how Chris Reisgruber refers to it when we chat about the Queen of Princeton.
He doesn't say, that blonde bitch who takes my photo. So spin was weird. I started doing it right after I went into physical therapy because it was the only thing I was allowed to do. And I literally would like sit in the back corner and cry every class because I went from like being an All-American runner to like barely being able to keep up with the grandmas in this class. But I started to really like it because it's like it's an outlet for stress. I got the same sort of like sweat and cardio high off of it, right. But it was also fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And once you start to get good at it, it really feels like an activity that is not like as competitive, but it feels like something to be good at. So I got certified the summer before my freshman year. Reached out to Dylan, sent an audition tape, and they hired me.
What was the audition tape
what
like?
What is that like?
So I taught some classes at home at smaller studios, and I just recorded a full one and sent it to them. Yeah.
Did you do Peloton?
My parents have a Peloton. You're part of the cult.
I'm part of the Peloton.
My dad's
community.
Part of the cult.
Who's
absolutely.
Your fave? Everyone's dad has a favorite, which is concerning.
I mean, like, you get to watch like really in shape like 25-year-old women like encourage you. Like, that's, I mean, appealing for a lot
something
of
money can't buy.
Middle-aged men. No, my favorite's Robin Arzon. Are you familiar?
Oh yeah, no, she's a beast. She's
my dad great. Likes this guy who's like into Disney or something.
Cody?
Probably
Cody
him.
Cook. Yeah, I'm something.
Like, and my dad, like, his like username on there is like all of his, he's a urologist, and so all of his usernames are like talk about urology.
That's hilarious.
Which is so weird to talk about because it's like about penises and stuff.
Sure.
Right. But
well, how do you find my burner account?
Oh shoot, I didn't know that was you. I'm sorry, that's awkward. I'm sorry.
Wait, Caroline, what's your like go-to spin encouragement line?
My line?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I actually like to take a negative spin on this. This might actually sound bad, but
negative
when we're
spin. Yeah. Good one.
Oh.
I actually think negative and bad stuff is actually a better motivator than like working towards something. So often when we're doing hills, I'll be like, every time you turn it up, that's someone or something that like pissed you off, made you sad, made you upset this week. And then you literally like you stomp on top of them while you're running this hill, you leave it behind, and then we forget. So I think for me at least, that's a better way to think of it. And then I also, you know, I always offer the alternative option of like, there's a goal you're reaching towards or whatever, but like that's less fun.
Who do you feel like that's still like a positive way of being negative though? I thought she meant like, you suck, you in the bad fight.
No, I would
you're
never.
Too slow, get out of here.
Like, no, I would never. Oh my gosh.
When you imagine yourself stomping on someone, when you spin that dial, who are you stomping on? Yeah,
you know, it changes week to week. I got a couple this week. I'm trying to think of some fun aliases I can say.
Yeah.
Please do.
No, I'm just kidding. I can't say it. This is too much. I'll tell you guys after.
Okay.
Tell us off the pod.
off the record.
And just to make it clear, none of us, you're not stomping on any of us.
Of course not.
Because that would really hurt our feelings.
Yeah, honestly, I know. Like my idol stomping on me.
Yeah.
Cute. The queen of Princeton. Cute. I can't have her hate me.
Oh, stop.
So do you plan on continuing your work as a spin instructor, like, after you graduate?
So I hope so. The job that I'm going to do is pretty much not 24/7, but you're somewhat on call 24/7. The nice part is, though, in my office, at least from the summer, it seems that they kind of come in around 9:30. So there's a possibility that I could teach a couple times a week in the morning. I'm going to reach out to like Equinox, and there's some smaller studios too that I can do. I could never do SoulCycle. It's a full time job. Like, you couldn't balance that with something else.
I've done that for a few years, and it's just it's really demanding.
It's really super demanding.
Yeah. And they're always calling me up because everybody's like, where's Simon?
Of course.
Because
they're always requesting you.
Right.
And I do this thing. It's interesting. I say like, I do a negative spin on my
You're
thing. So
kidding.
I say like,
that's where I got it.
I know. And I didn't want to bring it up because it was kind of embarrassing
for you. Are
you
guys going to honor code me for this?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately. I'm suing you. So,
let's just get right into it.
My
that's why we
party
brought you
contacted
on.
Yeah. You. Mm. Yeah. So that's why you're here today.
That's why I got served this morning.
Unfortunately.
That makes so much sense
now.
You'll probably get an email from Lazard soon. So you might be able to be a SoulCycle spin instructor.
Yeah, congratulations.
You find the good in everything.
Available.
Yeah. Oh. There you go.
Wait, so are like a lot of Equinox spin instructors like also other types of professionals?
Yeah, I think it depends. So some people do it as their full-time job. There are companies like SoulCycle that will pay you enough and give you like enough benefits and health insurance and all that sort of thing that it is a full-time job. Most other times it's usually part-time. Mm-hmm. Most people, I don't think, balance it with like a corporate job necessarily. Yeah. They'll do other stuff. They'll be a teacher. They'll be something that's more traditionally 9-to-5 versus like being a young analyst at an investment bank. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I'm going to try. I think if not, I love working out. You got to drag me there. Mm-hmm. once I'm there, great, feel great. After, it's the getting there that is always tough for me. And here, I get paid to be there, and this class doesn't happen unless I'm there. Right. So that's kind of like great a good motivator. Incentive. Yeah. I realized this summer that even if I sign up for a class, and honestly, even if I pay for it, I will contemplate not going for like 30 minutes to the point where I have to run there if I'm going
to
make it.
Do you have to like put that in your schedule? Just like 30 minutes of like meditation. Like
thinking about.
Yeah, just lying in bed, existential dread. Like, oh God, I have to go bike for 45 minutes. I do, but we'll see. I'm also gonna get though. I was thinking, have you guys seen those walking pads on TikTok?
Like the desk,
where it's like a treadmill under your
That's crazy! Wait, wow.
Are you able to like work while moving?
We'll see, won't we? my firm is work from home Monday Friday optional. I'm envisioning like maybe like on the bike like something because. Mm-hmm. Going from walking 7 miles a day or whatever at Princeton, plus being forced to be in the gym for 45 minutes, and then going to just sitting at a desk, I think is going to do terrible things to me unless I change all of my health habits, which is simply not going to happen at all.
The dark side of Caroline will emerge.
Yeah, it's my alter ego. Oh God, you might see that this weekend too. I don't know.
Oh,
my
last
house party.
At Charter, yeah.
Yeah, so the fun thing about house parties is it's Friday, Saturday. Most clubs have both. And so often people will go to their club for one and then go to their friend's club for another. So you can kind of like mix and match and see different
people. Which one are you planning on going to?
So I'm going to Charter tonight. And then because tonight's our formal, so I get to do the whole dress thing. And then tomorrow I'm going to my friend's formals at Canon. And they're doing like a James Bond theme or something. So that should be fun.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And I'm super extra as usual. I've never been nonchalant in my life. I saw a tweet the other day that was... you know, like, can I curse on here?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Fuck being nonchalant. I'm a chalant bitch for life. Like, that's me forever. Like, you're never going to get anything less. Fully chalant, always. And so my friends and I were like, oh, God, it's going to rain all weekend. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to have... Plus, honestly, like, getting ready. Everyone's always late. You're rushing. Mm. Like, they start early. Mm. So we... fully put on our formals dresses, like with an outfit change yesterday when it was nice out.
Oh, I saw that on your story.
Yeah, and took photos. And so that's all like box checked. We're good. Like I can just have fun tomorrow because we got the content.
You got the content. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you were vice president of Charter last
year. I was,
So why did you pick Charter?
Yeah, no, the Charter thing was probably one of the best things to happen to me in college. It was awesome. So I bickered my sophomore year. This was pre-COVID. So imagine a whole different world where we didn't ever have to wear N95 masks anywhere. And, you know, but a whole different world. I bickered. Didn't work out, and I...
Wait, for our non-Princeton listeners, would you mind describing what bicker is?
Sure. So there's a process where you basically have like a couple days of conversations and games with up to two clubs who are selective, and then they kind of debate and offer spots to certain people with a waitlist included also. And then signing clubs are basically you just sign up if there's space. Mm-hmm. Charter in particular is a little different because they want you to show interest. So you come to events to like show interest in the club, and then you get points for those events, and then that's how it's selective. So we're not really choosing you. You're just like showing you want to be in the club. So my sophomore year, I bickered. I got the feeling it really wasn't going to work out before the preference like locked in. So I basically rearranged everything, put Charter first, signed in a Charter, which was awesome because that was the year that they kind of flipped everything over. There was a group of people in my class who came together, got a full group of people, including me, to sign into Charter. And it was awesome. Like, I got to meet so many new people I'd never seen before. Our house, and I'm biased, but it's beautiful. It's huge. Yeah. It's my favorite architecture on the street. Our food is actually also really good, which is a very underrated part of joining an eating club. I think people forget about that. Like, you're paying 10 grand to eat.
Right.
And some clubs' food is not always up to par.
Which ones are known to be
cap?
I can't
cap though, right?
Come on, please.
I've only eaten at like three clubs, and all the ones I've eaten at are good. Okay. So I'll say that.
Which ones did you eat at?
I'm trying to narrow it down. I've eaten at like normal meals at Charter, obviously, Cannon and Tower. And Cannon and Tower both have that online, like the order system. So you get to pick.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
It's basically cool. Like a made-to-order, like restaurant type thing, which is cool. And then I've been at formals at other clubs, but those are usually different meals, so I can't really speak. But they've always been good.
What do you think of like the whole eating club process? Because I know it's an issue with a lot of people because of like elitism sort of thing. Yeah,
I think it's really complicated, to be honest. And listen, as someone who got double hosed, and it honestly was the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I was exposed to like a whole different group of people I probably never would have overlapped with. And I still kept all my old friends and I still met new people in like those circles too. I think the eating club system socially for college is really, really great. For a couple reasons. Like, there's a lot of issues with it, don't get me wrong. Like, I think there's a lot of affordability concerns still, like, even with financial aid. I think that there's always, like, that social stress and pressure. And, like, trust me, I experienced it. Like, I get it. But I think that it also is a really safe option for, like, going out in college. Like, if I want to leave at 1 a.m., I just, like, leave.
Yeah,
like, usually a friend will offer to walk home with me or whatever. But, like, I can just go. It's not, like, gathering your friends in an Uber, going to some sketchy bar in the city.
Right.
At some point, you might have needed a fake ID or something if you were younger. That's really common in college. And here, it's, like, you walk down to a bunch of beautiful mansions that are three minutes away from your dorm.
Right.
There's professional security who are making sure that only Princeton students can go. All the drinks are... They're not free because you pay dues if you're a member, but they're quote unquote free. They're handed to you by a professional bartender who's not spiking your drink and you can leave whenever you want. So I think like socially in terms of just like the experience, it's really great. I know people get tired of it.
What about the piss beers? What do you think about those?
So I'm going to be real with you.
Do professional bartenders make those?
I have never experienced, hopefully never experienced that. I never noticed.
Well, maybe it's a
secret
ingredient.
We have a secret to tell you.
Oh, God. Yeah, you guys have been following me around all year, putting stuff in my drink.
Actually, that Tico's drink.
What does that look like
there?
To you?
Thank God I didn't open it yet. Oh, my God.
No, my first, well, I would, my first experience on the street was at Cloister.
Okay, yeah. So can I be real for you? You guys have no idea what Cloister used to be like.
Really?
So my class, my original class, the class of 2022, was the one that ruined Frosh Week for everyone else. You guys are like, no, you're not allowed to go to Frosh Week.
Yeah, what
that was our class.
Oh, nice.
Realistically, not much. Like, I think, like, a couple people got Makosh, which, again, is, like, another pro of this eating club system. We have this, like, amnesty thing at school where if your friend's too drunk or something happened, you bring them to our health center. They will take care of them. No questions asked. You do not get in trouble. They do not call your parents. You just get taken care of and everyone's safe. That is such an underrated thing that other schools do not have where people genuinely, like, get hurt, brain damage, die from drinking too much, like here, underrated, whatever. Sorry, I'm like on my tour guide pitch again.
Basically,
a bunch of people got Makosh. The school got upset about it. So like day three of Frosh Week, they were like, okay, freshmen can't go anymore. We obviously had figured out about proc swapping by then. So like wasn't a problem. And I think, I mean, honestly, like going back to your question about athletes, that's another, I think, underrated plus that people don't realize is when you walk into a community, and it doesn't have to be like an athletic team. It could be like if you have an older sibling or if you know people from your high school or like you joined a club really early on, they can loop you into the social stuff that it normally takes like months to figure out. So anyway, the proc swapping thing, people figured it out pretty fast. But we were the ones who then subsequently no Frosh could go to Frosh Week after that.
Do you have any like stories like... I'm sure you do, but any like stories that stick out to you from the street that you'd like to share?
Well, so I'm blonde, right? When people are drunk, a lot of times they can't tell blonde girls apart. Right? Happens a lot. My name is also Caroline. Do you know how many blonde girls there are named Caroline running around on this campus at any given time? It's like a plague. So there have been many, many times. It's doesn't really happen anymore to me because unfortunately I've like inserted myself all over campus enough that I think people recognize me. But but like early on for like the first 2-3 years of college, I would constantly have like drunk upperclassmen coming up to me being like, I saw your sister the other day, like, or I was at your soccer game, you scored a goal. And I'd be like, I don't think that's me. And they'd be like, no, you're Caroline, right? And I'm like, yes, but I still don't think that's
Did you say that you snorted coke?
Oh, God, no. No, no. Saying, please. There's a couple things about me that I'm a hardo about. One of them is drugs. Never.
Like, no, no, no. I thought you said something.
No, no. Like, you scored a goal at your
soccer game.
No, you can ask my friends. I'm so annoying about this. I'm so anti-smoking and anti, like, vaping. Like, yeah. I'm so annoying about it. Like, I will take cigarettes out of people I don't know's hands and stomp them out on the ground. I've done it at Ivy. I've done it at Cottage. I've done it all over the place. My friends get very upset with me, but I've done it to the bouncers before. I'm like, have you heard about lung cancer? Have you?
You're kidding me.
No, I have.
You're, like, walking in, like, New York City, and you're like, hey, stop. Like, yeah. Across the street.
It's I'm like, a public service announcement.
That reminds me of, like, when I was a kid, I remember I'd go throughout New York City, and I'd, like, walk past a guy that was smoking, and I'd put my shirt over my nose and
ew. As if he would care.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, and I do that now to people I know. And so anyway, there's that, and then I'm so, like, I feel like this is going to somehow cancel me, but I'm so anti-weed. I'm really sorry, you guys. I think it smells so bad. Mm. Like, I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
So Terrace is not the place where
you'll
find
it. It is not, no. Unfortunately, no. I have many friends I love in Terrace. I do not frequent Terrace very often.
Mm.
But yeah, so that your coat comment made me laugh because I was like, never.
How could you, Simon?
Well, it could be the drink. You could just be snorting the drink. I mean, that's a way to inhale.
Wait, have you heard about Diet Cocaine, the drink?
I have not.
It gave me one of the funnest nights I've ever had at Princeton a few weeks ago. It's just Diet Coke and you
put
pour
champagne.
You pour champagne on top, or like Prosecco, because we all don't have the budget for champagne. I certainly don't right now. So you Diet Coke, champagne, and if you're feeling a little spicy, you can put a little shot of something in it if you want.
But
it is so good. It, like, for whatever reason, tastes like lemon Diet Coke. It, like, adds some lemony flavor to it, and you can't taste the alcohol. So at your own risk, I think all of you are underage, so please do not drink.
We would never drink.
We would never drink.
I don't know what that maybe is. Maybe on your 21st birthday, if you want to give it a try, would recommend.
That sounds so good,
Thank you.
Actually.
Countdown.
My family is a big Prosecco family because we went to Italy this past year. And
humble brag.
I know, seriously. For the first time. And I swear my mom and my sister would be like, can we have a glass of Prosecco for the table? Which meant for them. But
yeah, of course.
They're going to be mad at me saying this.
Mm.
But yeah, we just go through one each meal, actually. Like, it was crazy.
No, but
we didn't eat breakfast.
No, but alcoholism doesn't count on vacation.
No.
You're right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't count.
We had to get through the Roman heat. It was very, very
hard. It's like airport rules and finals rules.
Oh, exactly.
Like, you can eat pizza for every meal. You can sleep on the floor. You can do whatever you want.
It doesn't count.
And no one is allowed to talk about it ever again.
So are people allowed to, like, do hard drugs during finals?
No drugs ever.
No, mm-hmm.
Dare to keep kids off drugs.
Okay.
That's so my slogan. I came up with that.
Even during finals, you're ripping the cigarettes out of
strangers.
You're like, I just need a stress break, man. You're like,
listen,
I don't care.
I don't care. Go to my spin class.
Always self-promoting.
Wait, I think we're figuring out like who she's stepping on during her spin class. It's the smoker.
All the smoker community.
It's like the fucking bouncer.
I care about your health.
It's just like
you're turning it up a gear, and you're like, "That's for you, bouncer."
all the ex-smokers are the ones like making her classes sold out within like 5 minutes.
They've been reformed.
Yeah. That's okay. You just solved the problem of chain smoking. It's just going to your spin
just
class.
Go to
That's the solution.
Actually, it's incredibly easy. Just go to spin. It's not hard.
Yeah.
So, Caroline, you're also very involved with Orange Key.
Yes.
And so you were my tour guide at Princeton Preview, and we all watched your panel. But what made you get involved? What do you think about like the selective tour guide application process?
So, thinking back, and also I was a GSO, a guide selection officer, every year since when I got accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know how they let me through that process in hindsight. Thank God they did. It's one of my favorite jobs on campus, and I love it, and I've met so many people through it, genuinely. Actually, on Halloween's fun little anecdote, I was on duty at Charter.
Really?
Bad night to be on duty. Don't recommend. But I was holding the door open as kids were coming in past the bouncers,
mm-hmm.
and I swear every other person, because it was all freshmen there very early, were going, oh my God, were you that girl from the preview panel last year? But like stumbling all over, and I was like, yes, hello.
Welcome to
Charter. I think they were just tripping over
the
stairs.
Yeah,
there was like a step that they were tripping on.
No, I get really confused.
Or their costumes
with those
were really intricate. You
know?
It happens.
Stairs are difficult. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, the process is a lot. They do it because I mean, it's a lot of information to know, and it's also a very weird personality trait. I think that's why you see so much overlap between Orange Key and other clubs on campus, where you need to, like, essentially, like, not shut up very frequently. Like I said, should I plug my charity event right now?
Yeah, let's hear
Absolutely.
It.
Okay, so I had this idea for a charity event. I don't even know what charity we're going to sponsor. If anyone has any ideas, let me know. But where people can pay me to shut up for, like, a certain amount of time. So I'll, like, have 24 hours of silence, but you have to, like, pay up for a certain amount of time.
How much money
I don't know. I was thinking, like, maybe, like, $1 a minute, like, you would have to pay $1 a minute of silence, and we could, like, crowdsource, and people could maybe, like, pay me for what I'm supposed to be doing during that time, like, make me go watch something boring, or, like, put me in a situation like this where I'm supposed to talk. I don't know. It's just an idea.
That would be painful. That's $5 per minute.
Yeah, I don't know. We would bump it up, but I don't know. So anyway, there's that. But Orange Key is really great. I think, the process is tough. They make you go to a meeting. The beginning is very much just, like, showing up and putting in the time, doing the meeting, doing this, doing that. And then we have the panel thing.
Right.
And that is really on the spot. And we've had so many people join Orange Key later who have gone through the process 2 times, 3 times, 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah. Because sometimes you just freeze up, or like the person, we, like, rotate through who's asking you the question, and we have the list of questions to pull from, but you could be the one who gets the question that you practiced a ton, or the questions like, what's the food like on campus? Those are the ones usually coming from me, because I don't want to kill the kids. Like, I know when NASA Hall was built. I don't need you to tell me. I'd like to hear your thoughts on Roma and the croissants or whatever. But you could also get one that's like, when was this statue built? And I, to be honest, I probably couldn't answer that question right now. So it's really just luck of the draw. And so people come back year after year. And then they make you give a tour. And believe it or not, every year there are people who make it to that point where, like, you give a real tour and we're watching you give a real tour to real visitors. And every year there's usually at least one tour where whoever's watching has to step in and be like, okay, I am giving this tour now because something happens that's bad.
What's the worst thing?
I'm proud to say that every single tour I've ever observed on that step, that kid has gotten into Orange Key. So single, I've been lucky. I think we're just randomly assigned, and every tour I've seen was phenomenal, and they all get in.
Or it's all you.
Or, but
being under the watchful eye.
You're like, if you want my stairs.
You're like mouthing the words.
Is holding up signs in the back, like holding up back cue cards. But yeah, it happens. And then this is also usually the overlap with frat season. So they don't do it anymore, especially because of what happened recently. But they used to do really silly stuff on tours, like just coming up and asking really funny questions. And they used to, like, come up to a tour, pour a gallon of milk on their head, and then pour Fruit Loops over and be screaming, like, I'm a Fruit, like, just, like, very silly stuff.
Yeah.
But hard to explain, like, slightly to a tour group about what's going on. especially when you just said, there are no frats on campus.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that would entirely overlap with when these new prospective guides were giving their evaluation tour.
You could just
and
say
so
that was
they're
a Mekosh
nervous.
Escapee.
Right. Right. you could totally say that. But that's what that was. It's crazy. But anyway, long story short is the process is tough. There's a discussion at the end. And again, I'm not in a bicker club, so I've never sat through bicker discussions. But oh boy, do I hear about what happens in bicker discussions. Yeah. They swear you to secrecy, and it's like being live tweeted under the table as it's going on.
Oh my gosh.
But Orange Key discussions is honestly not that different. Mm. It's much less personal because you're just discussing like the tour. But I mean, you're fighting for people whose tour you watch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we get as many people as we can. But if anyone's listening to this who didn't get an Orange Key, do it again. We have so many people who come multiple times. And
you
they
are
get
a loser, but you can have another shot.
All right. I mean, you suck. But
thinking back, though, like, I think my time here has fully made me internalize the fact that I'm one of these people that walks into a room and you hate me on sight, like, aggressively. Yeah. Or, like, you're like, oh, okay, she's probably going to be fine, and then we can be friends. And so I cannot believe I made it through that process without someone standing up and being like, no, the second time I walked in.
Have you had like some like experiences like that where people are just super rude to
they're
you?
Like, I hate you. You haven't met them before?
No, not really. I mean, Princeton's a small campus. Yeah. People talk, stuff happens, whatever. I think I've been really lucky that I've been very friendly and gotten to meet so many people who are super friendly. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, stuff happens freshman year, sophomore year, whatever. But I think for the most part, people tend to be really, really nice, which is great. Yeah. Friends at other schools do not have that same reaction. And I think it's because it's so small here that, like, you cannot
escape.
Should them. Not right. also, but you cannot be mean to people.
Right.
Yeah. And at least at this point, if people are talking shit, they know to do it behind my back at this point.
That's good. Instead of that
that's good. Yeah.
I guess so. We are nearing the end of our time today.
You're kidding.
Yes, but I do have a final question for you.
Uh-oh.
So in your recent article in the Daily Princetonian mm-hmm. called 10 Things I Love About Princeton.
Oh God, I was so emo writing that.
you mention, quote unquote, the moment when we realize we're here, we have arrived, abreast in our generation at Princeton. We are in love and our love is returned. And even when it's over, we are welcomed back for the rest of our lives.
Thank you so much for that dramatic reading. I will say that a large portion of that quote is a direct quote from F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Really?
So I did not write some of that. Cool. I'm on her coding this awesome. Right now.
Do you not even read her article?
For
I
sure
even
I'm
that.
Not cultured enough to know that that's I think a direct she mentioned quote from them.
She literally yeah. said that. So.
Oopsie.
So you're stupid.
An idiot.
How dare you.
I'm an idiot. Anyway, what was your moment?
My moment. So when I got into Princeton, actually, my dad gave me a copy of The Set of Paradise, the F. Scott Fitzgerald book, and like wrote a thing in it or whatever. And I think for me, and this is a bad answer, and I'm very sorry, but every single second I'm here, I get it.
Oh, wow.
Like I remember driving up when I was moving in freshman year. I remember I had 8:30 a.m. writing a seminar at the top of Blair Arch,
wow.
and I was perpetually late. And I lived in what is currently being torn down. Was first college was Wilson College, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now will be Hobson College, getting torn down. So I was constantly running up Elm Drive trying to make this class on time. And that's where like that Blair Arch and the lights and everything. But
yeah.
I really love it here. I've met so many incredible people. I feel very stupid here sometimes. And I think that's an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the smartest person in the room, like you are in the wrong room.
Yeah.
Like that's, I don't know. I didn't say that. Someone else said that. Again, I'm going to, please don't want to come in. But if you're the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. Like
yeah.
you constantly want people who are better than you at things, who are going to tell you that you need to be better,
yeah.
that you need mm-hmm. to improve or whatever. And I think this school kind of kicks you a lot. And it sucks at the time, and it's a lot better. So, like, honestly, every single second I get here. And I took a whole year off so I could preserve it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Aww.
Sorry.
You're going to be a firecracker at reunions? Be there every year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every year. Off years, all the years.
You'll just show
well,
up.
Well, how could the queen of Princeton ever leave?
That's
Aww,
true.
She
that's
lives
true.
Here. You're going to live here next year, right?
I like, look, I would love that. If please, this is a reminder for everyone to vote in the Young Alumni Trustee election.
Yes.
Because depending on how that goes, they will fly whoever wins to Princeton 6 times a year for those board meetings.
Damn.
So
oh.
you will
private,
never
private
get...
Private jet, though? Private jet?
I don't know if Ice Cooper has the cash for that these days.
Yeah. Mm.
Based on the state of some things on campus.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah. Are you glad to like get out of here before there's the construction consumes campus?
The Poe Field thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
gosh. Well, I feel bad because... I understand why they did it all at once.
Yeah.
It makes it horrible for like a smaller period of time.
Yeah.
But it is getting a little bit unreasonable because
yeah.
every time I try to walk somewhere now, I cannot walk
you
there the way
go.
That I thought I could.
Yeah.
yeah.
I was so late to one of my classes because they like completely shut down
mm-hmm.
my little path. And I don't know how to get around campus without the construction that's been there since we've gotten here.
It's so crazy to me though, because where I lived for 2 years
yeah.
is like now this just like death construction zone that
right.
you can't even walk.
I lived
through.
There the first week.
Did
here.
You really?
Yeah, because
oh.
we were relocated because I'm in Yay.
I'm sorry.
No, it was, I couldn't believe people actually lived there like for more than a week.
So I lived in Walker, which is
oh,
still
okay.
standing. So
oh,
I'm very
so-
lucky. For that. I
yeah.
lived there for 2 years. It's like the only pretty building in
right.
that res college.
Mm.
Very close to Frist, very close to
yep.
everything. I really liked it, especially because I'm an aggressively light sleeper. I am bad
yeah.
at a lot of things. I am horrible at sleeping. Listen, I've had kids come up to me this year and like I'm happy to give advice to anyone, whatever, and be like, do you sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Just like genuinely.
That's a good
yeah.
question. It's a good question.
And I say kind of, and I'm very bad at it. Like I love to sleep. I just have really severe ADHD and like noise sensitivity, whatever. But I've been
yeah.
single for 2 years, and that's how I ended up
oh.
in Walker. And I've never had a roommate. Hopefully,
never
will.
Had a roommate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
It's really nice.
I felt bad for my roommate when I was shitting
all
oh
over
my
the
god!
Floor.
I like that we have
morning.
Come full circle right now. I'm
Oops.
Sorry
yes.
you were sick.
We have. Because
so,
you talked about getting double hose, and I
uh-huh.
got double hose yesterday morning after I sprayed everywhere.
By his own
balls.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
yeah.
Anyway, we're going to conclude this podcast by rating you. We
really?
Rate
yes.
all our guests, mm-hmm. and I give you 5 out of 5 cranks of the spin dial.
So you want to stomp on me.
Not you. I'm thinking of your enemies and all of the people that...
I have a Google sheet of my enemies, actually.
Do you actually?
Oh, my gosh.
That actually scares the shit
out of me. I really want to see it really badly.
No, I really
Are you serious? See, the thing is, no one will ever know if I'm serious because it is something that it sounds like I would do. You know what I mean? But I also could be joking and no one ever knows.
Oh, wow.
She's okay, well, I'm stealing that. I'm stealing I'm totally doing that.
I'm making a Google sheet. I rate you 3 smokers so you can rip the cigarettes right out of their mouth.
Oh, thank you.
Cathartically.
Thank you.
You kind of stole mine. I was going to give you 10 out of 10 stomped out cigarettes.
Thank you so much. I should start making art pieces out of them.
You should.
I took this one from this person and I took this one from this person.
You just take it. Instead of stomping it out, just like put it in your pocket really delicately.
Or you could do that thing that you put it between your lips and you don't smoke. What's
don't
that
give us like power to kill you.
Yeah. That's so funny. Gore, wait, whatever. Can I ask you guys a question?
Of course.
Sure.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I always like to ask this later. I was in a class that like made us do this to other people and it was kind of terrifying and weird. But if you had to say one word right now to describe me, what would you say? And you can be mean. I'll take it. I take hits every day. And then you have to do it for each other.
Can it be a phrase?
Sure.
I'd say omnipresent.
Whoa. Oh, that's such a good one.
I'd say like cracked out.
Thank you. You know what? It's because I forgot to take my meds today.
Oh, that's awesome. Way to go, Sophia.
No, but in a good way, though. No, like in a good way, though.
I feel like I could definitely think of a better word, but the first word that came into my head was chipper. I don't know why.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Of course.
It's all from the quad shot lattes I consume every morning.
Oh, well, there it is. She has an explanation for every word.
I try. But for real, this was really fun. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Do you want me to tell you the names now?
Yes.
Okay, turn off the camera.
Wait, hold on. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to our listeners. Oh,
we love you guys.
This is our last episode. It's been an absolute pleasure making these 12 episodes for you guys. 12. And we'll see you back here
next fall.
In the fall.
Bye, guys.
Have a good summer, guys.
Bye.